This is Jordan Seculo. Congressman Ilhan Omar is at it again, saying, quote, religious fundamentalists are currently trying to impose their beliefs on an entire society. She was one of two, the first Muslims elected to Congress, but it's religious fundamentalists trying to impose their beliefs. We'll talk about it today on Jay Seculo Live.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Seculo Live.
Religious fundamentalists are currently trying to manipulate state laws in order to impose their beliefs on an entire society, all with complete disregard for voices and the rights of American women.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
This isn't about religious morality or conviction, because we've seen time and time again those that talk about their faith and want to push policies because of their faith.
And now,
are
your
the ones
host,
that simply
Jordan
are
Seculo.
Caught with the hypocrisy of not living it out in their personal lives.
Hey, welcome to Jay Seculo Live. We are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. I hope you had a great Memorial Day weekend and took time to remember why we had that day, Memorial Day, where most people were not having to work, to remember those who sacrificed all for our country, for our freedoms, for our liberty, so we can have broadcasts like this and debates like this and discussions like this in an open, free, and fair democratic republic. We kind of teased this out on Friday, but we didn't have time to get to all of it because of the declassification that President Trump had agreed to by the request from the Attorney General of the United States in regards to the Russia investigation and the beginning of that Russia investigation. But if you just heard from the break, it's Ilhan Omar back again. She was one of the first two, let me correct it, Muslim women to be elected to the United States House of Representatives. There have been a couple of men who have been elected who are Muslim, and both seats that were filled by these two women were held by Muslim men initially. She's now coming after the pro-life community, and interesting enough, for someone who wears a hijab, and again, I'm not attacking people who wear hijab, just saying she's attacking religious fundamentalists. I mean, I think the big question is, who is Ilhan Omar? I mean, is it the hiding behind the hijab is just part of politics to her? Because we did a deep dive actually into Islam and looked at where Islam stands on abortion. And it's very clear in Shia Islam, it's absolutely prohibited, no abortion. And then within Sunni Islam, certainly for the most part, it is there's kind of four branches of Sunni Islam. I'm not sure which branch she would identify with. I'm assuming she would be part of the Sunni Islamic branches. From conception to 40 days, one of those branches prohibits it completely, like Shia Muslims. Others allow it. From 40 to 80 days, you've got some permission. And then from basically 120 days, so the very beginning of the second trimester, it is completely prohibited, 100% prohibited under Shia, under Sunni Islam, and it's always prohibited under Shia Islam. So again, I'm not sure why she is just picking out on Christians or religious fundamentalists and using terminology like that when it is religious fundamentalist Muslims who have been carrying out terror attacks across the world. See, I don't let her get away with just using religious fundamentalists to refer to us or Christians or people who believe their faith. Religious fundamentalists are also Islamist extremists who have carried out terror attacks. I want to take your calls at 1-800-684-3110, but this idea that we can't have religion as part of our politics and we're being lectured to it by a person who identifies herself as being so important as one of the first Muslim elected women to Congress, wearing the hijab, claiming Islamophobia at any time she's criticized or racism, and yet she's telling us our faith can play no role in politics in the United States of America? This is, again, the danger of these junior members of Congress not being condemned by their own party. We're going to take your calls. I want to get your thoughts on this. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Again, 1-800-684-3110 to join the conversation. Also, a victory out of the Supreme Court on life out of Indiana, an Indiana case at the U.S. Supreme Court. We'll talk about that getting into in the second half hour. Call us, 1-800-684-3110.
It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture, and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Jay Sekulow Live, Ilhan Omar back at it again as we've pledged on this broadcast. We're not going to let her get away with these statements. One, trying to defame an entire group of people, religious people, who care deeply about their faith. But then two, mischaracterize an entire movement, the pro-life movement, which, by the way, is not made up of just right-wing Christian fundamentalists. I mean, there are a lot of people who take a pro-life position who would not identify as religious fundamentalist, to say the least. And by the way, religious fundamentalist is a term that can be applied to members of ISIS. I mean, so she's using a derogatory term there, the way that it's been used now in modern times. Even in the past, where that may have been seen differently, we know exactly what she is saying by making the remarks. Hear her own words. She decided to make these statements. She decided to go to the floor, quiet week, you know, in Washington, D.C. last week, and make this statement. So she's trying to get the attention. And she says she's so scared for her life. She's so worried and concerned. And yet over and over again, here she goes trying to just basically see how many people she can attack in the United States of America. Take a listen.
Religious fundamentalists are currently trying to manipulate state laws in order to impose their beliefs on an entire society, all with complete disregard for voices and the rights of American women.
You know, what's interesting there, Harry, is that what she forgets, these religious fundamentalists, she calls, are elected officials of these states, both in the state legislatures or state senates, or if you've got delegates, whatever system you've got, and then governors who are signing the laws. They're not all religious fundamentalists. They come from a variety of backgrounds. Some are very religious. Some are not at all. Different denominations, different faith backgrounds. It could be Jewish, Christian, could come from the Catholic tradition, could not be that religious at all, but care about the life issue because they understand the science behind it now, which is, I think, only assisting the life movement. And yet, she tries to act like it's like these religious fundamentalist Christians are able to run into a town and a state and just, you know, decide what laws they want. That's not the case. People elect their officials. These officials pass the law. They go to the governor's desk. The governor signs them, and they know there's going to be a fight over these laws, but they've decided to elect these people through a democratic process.
I think that's absolutely correct. And I think to further your point, it's important to note that a significant majority of Democrats support some restrictions on abortion. So if you look at the laws passed in New York and Vermont and the law that was proposed in Virginia that would allow abortion up to the moment of birth, it's very important to note that roughly 80% of Democrats oppose such extreme laws. So are all of those Democrats religious fundamentalists? Secondly, it's important to note Representative Omar continues to talk about the Republicans ignoring or disregarding the voices of women. Well, it turns out, of course, that many women, religious and secular, are strongly pro-life because, as you say, Jordan, because of the science, because of ultrasound, because of other methods of detecting a live human being in the womb. So it's very, very important to note that Representative Omar, she misrepresents opposition to abortion in the United States as she misrepresents many other things.
Well, the other interesting part is, you know, we've got an opposed call coming in. I want to go to it right now. Jamie in Baltimore, Maryland, on line one. Jamie, welcome to JSecio Live.
Hello.
Hey, Jamie, you're on the air.
Hey, thank you.
What do you have to say?
Oh, yeah, my comment was just directed towards the, like, we're talking about her calling out religious fundamentalists, and the statement is made that how can she speak like this as a hijab-wearing Muslim, and all I can, you know, sit here thinking to this, I was raised Catholic, just to give you, you know, where I'm coming from, but is that she's not saying that everyone else should wear a hijab like she does or practice Islam like she does. She's just specifically calling out people who are directly trying to influence the freedoms and choices of other Americans.
But she's using derogatory terms to do it. I mean, so Jamie, she could have been one of the first women elected to Congress who's a Muslim and not made it her entire kind of persona. She decided to do that. So that's why I've always said when she speaks out on issues, she has a responsibility unique because she has embraced that. She's decided to embrace that, by the way, as being speaking at events that are Islamic events, talking that up. And the idea that she then takes this term religious fundamentalist but only applies it to Christians, Jamie, that is wrong. I mean, that is wrong. It is. I mean, we don't really have a term for it because we don't claim, because, you know, we don't need to constantly have this claim of Islamophobia in the Christian world. But it is trying to, again, quarter this entire group of the country into one small phrase. And I think she is using her religion to do that. I think it is baiting religion. Instead of talking about abortion as an issue, she made it about faith. She made it about religion. She didn't make it about the science. She didn't make it about the laws that are being passed by elected officials and that she opposes those laws. She could have done that. Instead, she wanted to call out hypocritic religious people. I mean, I think when she picks those battles, and this is someone who has, again, attacked Israel, who has attacked, who's been condemned for her attacks her anti-Semitic tropes. Let's not forget those, Jamie. It's all about the Benjamins. Remember, she said that, Jamie, about the Jewish community's support for Israel. So she is somewhat not the best messenger to be calling a group of Americans who are pro-life all religious fundamentalists. That's where I get so upset by this. I would be upset by anybody on the other side trying to do this, because I think what she's trying to do, Jamie, is say that if you believe this, you must be a religious fundamentalist. And that's not the case. Or that if you want to do something good and right, but you're not perfect, well, then you're a hypocrite. I mean, that's not a good way to govern either. We always want to govern and put in place laws that we want to kind of aspire to for our country. You know, to be a better country, to be a better place. Yeah, no one is perfect. But I guess for Ilhan Omar, if you're not perfect, you can't pass any legislation whatsoever. But she is, again, using religion to attack. So she deserves whatever comes back at her. What I'm questioning is, what kind of Muslim is she? I mean, I can't figure it out. Because it's just very bizarre, this whole, and again, I'm not a fan of a lot of what goes on in the Islamic world and how it treats women. So it's also confusing as she is the kind of spokesperson for this. But you look at the language she uses, it is to incite. And I think we have to call it out for what it is. We have to make sure that we don't let someone like this, a one-term congressman, try to pinhole the entire pro-life movement, which is making gains right now because of how extreme the pro-abortion movement went, by calling us, you know, religious fundamentalists. And the truth is, it's a lot more than it takes a lot more than religious Christians or evangelicals to get these laws passed. And that's just the bottom line truth. So I think she does not get a pass on anything because of what she has said before. We can keep pulling those bites and pulling those tweets about what she said about Jews, what she said about Israel. Why is she so controversial in the first place? And yet then she wants to put herself into more. I mean, like she says this, do we have the bite about how this would be a dangerous violation of human rights in other places if this wasn't happening in the U.S.? Do we have that soundbite? Yeah, I mean, so she goes so far as to say, if any other country, this would be a dangerous violation of human rights because it's happening here with the support of ultra-conservative religious right. We call it religious freedom. You mean you have religious freedom to decide how you want to vote? Oh, wow. Your religion can impact who you want to vote for in America? I mean, Thea, these are not new concepts, but I guess for Ilhan Omar, immigrating from Somalia, which is kind of bizarre, the idea that she doesn't think religion will impact how people vote or who they will vote for, I mean, that is pretty anti-American.
Yeah, and it impacts worldview. Of course it's going to impact who you vote for. And Jordan, as you mentioned, even the most permissive strain of Islam would be restrictive of abortion in the fourth month. Jordan, that's more restrictive than most of these state laws that she's talking about. And by the way, I really take exception during that quote that you played. She said that religious fundamentalists are trying to manipulate state laws in order to impose their beliefs. Jordan, by manipulate, does she mean use the legislative process to enact laws? Because in the United States of America, that's what we have to do. And that is a coalition of people of faith and non-faith taking a look at a law and the best way to apply it to their residents and deciding that these restrictions are in order. Jordan, that's not manipulating anything. That's called the legislative process.
All right, we come back. We'll start to take your phone calls. 1-800-684-3110. Just don't forget, this is a congressman who tweeted, quote, "Israel has hypnotized the world. May Allah awaken the people and help them see the evil doings of Israel." And we're the religious fundamentalists? Let that sit in during the break. Israel has hypnotized the world. May Allah awaken the people and help them see the evil doings of Israel. And you're the religious fundamentalist for being pro-life. We'll take your calls when we come back on Jay Sekulow Live, 1-800-684-3110. As always, go to aclj.org. Sign up for our email list, too. We've got big abortion battles that we're fighting. Go to aclj.org. We'll be back.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture, and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.
listen to this from Ilhan Omar. I was just talking to our producer, Will, during that video break for our Facebook and Periscope audience. We've had a special video prepared for them and for our radio audience while you were in the commercial break. Take a listen, because this is when she's trying to defend herself from attacks, you know, for being pro-Palestinian. Take a listen.
Now that you have two Muslims who are saying, here is a group of people that we want to make sure they have the dignity that you want everybody else to have, we get to be called names and we get to be labeled as hateful. No, we know what hate looks like.
Yes, hate looks like calling people, quote, religious fundamentalists trying to manipulate state laws to impose their beliefs on entire society, all with complete disregard for voices and the rights of American women. That's pretty hateful. Quote from Ilhan Omar, if this was being proposed by any other country, we'd be calling it a dangerous violation of human rights. It's pretty hateful. And then saying, oh, by the way, these religious people are hypocrites. Quote, this isn't about religious morality or conviction, because we've seen time and time again, those that talk about their faith and want to push policies because of their faith are the ones that are simply caught with the hypocrisy of not living it out in their personal life. So you're hypocrites, you're dangerous, and you're a religious fundamentalist. But she wants to be apologized to. She believes the hate's coming towards her. She's spewing hatred as she has called for Allah to open our eyes to see the evil doings of Israel. Spewing anti-Semitic hatred, Ilhan Omar. So to me, this is bigger than the abortion issue with her. I tend to doubt how, and I would not say this about many, what how seriousness of her faith, because she talks the line. I mean, she talks the line of a very liberal activist who's lined up with the Palestinian movement, which is not that unusual. She just also happens to have the hijab and the Muslim background, so she's kind of putting it all together. Extremely liberal, extremely pro-abortion, even though that contradicts what would be her religious faith, and extremely anti-Christian. I mean, let's not forget what she's doing here. She's setting up this fight, you know, saying, you know, if you're this Christian, I can't deal with you. You are someone I can't deal with, because you have you are someone that is violating, you're proposing dangerous violation of human rights. That you are someone who is trying to manipulate state laws as a religious fundamentalist. That you are not really about your religion or morality, because you're a hypocrite. You know, I mean, we're going to deal every time this comes out about her or one of these congressmen who has taken this stage, taken this pulpit, if you will, we are going to call it out, even when it there's a lot of news going on, and we want to make sure you're understanding that you are educated about this issue. Let's go to the phones. Rachel in New York on line 3. Rachel, welcome to JSEC Yo Live.
Thanks so much, and I appreciate your ministry. I just have a comment and a question real quick. My comment is this. She must be, when she was going through the whole election process, she must not have really done her homework on her history, because our nation was founded on biblical principles. And my question, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
And my question is, since she's been known before for making comments like this, Why isn't she reprimanded in some way or another?
No, because the Democrat Party is now afraid of her, Than. I mean, they are literally letting her, AOC, Rashida Tlaib, and others just run rampant in the House, make whatever comments they want, whatever statements they want. They couldn't get the full condemnation with her anti-Semitic comments that Ilhan Omar made, and she's getting the backing of the radical left. And now, actually, some of the House leadership is starting to back Rashida Tlaib and Omar types for their statements, even after Rashida Tlaib was celebrating the Holocaust.
Jordan, they've become the standard bearers. I mean, they've been emboldened and empowered by Democrat leadership in the House. And this is why. Look, the voters in these districts, Jordan, can send whatever member of Congress they want to Washington, D.C. And unless a full vote of the House expels that member, something that's not going to happen in a situation like that, that person is going to be a member of the House. However, it is up to the leadership of the majority party to seat members on committees. And Jordan, there's a sitting member of the House of Representatives on the Republican side that does not have committee seats for making comments that did not rise anything close to this level. And yet Democrat leadership in the House continues to place both of those members you mentioned on prominent committees. In the case of Ilhan Omar, Jordan, she continues to sit on the House Foreign Affairs Committee, which has direct jurisdiction on all matters involving Israel and many of these matters involving the issue of life. Think about funding for the United Nations or the UNFPA or the Mexico City policy, which the Trump administration has expanded. Jordan, Congressman Omar's seat on that committee gives her a direct voice in those issues, and she is not entitled to that seat. That is a seat that is given to her by Nancy Pelosi and her team. And as a result, Jordan, they are empowering her, they are emboldening her, and quite frankly, it is a way of tacitly echoing her comments and saying they are okay.
I mean, it's gone so far as where the President of the United States and Vice President Pence have both called on her to be removed from the Foreign Affairs Committee because of the classified nature of the briefing those members receive about our foreign affairs, that she is, again, 10 years from now, we can see where Ilhan Omar is, okay? I have a feeling she will be this similar kind of activist if still elected. But certainly, she does not have the responsibility, she does not have the understanding to be on this committee like this and get the information like this and be trusted with that information. And it's not because she's a Muslim. It's because of the language that she uses about people, whether it's people who are pro-life, whether it is people who support Israel. Her being a Muslim is just her way of hiding behind those statements and getting away with those statements. So, I mean, she hides behind it. And whether you want to call it hiding behind the hijab, which I think she even said she wears for political purposes, not so much religious purposes, but political purposes. Let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Jan in Georgia online too. Jan, welcome to JSecio Live.
Hello. Thank you for all you do, and thank you for taking my call. As far as Ilhan Omar goes, I think she's being very hypocritical and also displaying some of her ignorance about both her religion, the Christian religion, the Jewish religion, and science. And I think she's hiding under her hijab because I'm not sure she practices her own faith.
No, I question that too, and I do that very carefully because I don't like when people do that. But what she says doesn't add up with her own faith. I mean, I'm going to quote the Quran for you on life. This is a Quran 5:32. We decreed upon the children of Israel that whoever kills a soul, unless for a soul or for corruption done in the land, It is as if he had slain mankind entirely, and whoever saves one, it is as if he had saved mankind entirely. And our messengers had certainly come to them with clear proofs. Then indeed, many of them, even after that throughout the land, were transgressors. Quran 17:31, kill not your offspring for fear of poverty. So this idea of abortion because of low income, or that I can't take care of this child. The Quran literally speaks to that. Quran 17:31, kill not your offspring for fear of poverty. It is we who provide for them and for you. Surely killing them is a great sin. And then about the creation of the child. And certainly, and this is Quran 23:12-14. And certainly did we create man from an extract of clay. And we placed him as a sperm drop in a firm lodging. Then we made the sperm drop into a clinging clot. And we made the clot into a lump of flesh. And we made from the lump bones, and we covered the bones with flesh, and we developed him into another creation. This is quoting her religious text, not ours, hers, on the creation of man, on the importance of human life, human dignity, and of course this abortion because of poverty even being addressed there, or killing because of a poverty. We will come back second half hour coming up. There's also an update out of the Supreme Court on life.
It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.
live from Washington, D.C. Jay Sekulow Live.
Religious fundamentalists are currently trying to manipulate state laws in order to impose their beliefs on an entire society, all with complete disregard for voices and the rights of American women.
And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
That was Representative Ilhan Omar last week. We didn't get to it because of so much breaking news, but we wanted to make sure after the Memorial Day holiday that you did not miss this and pass over this attack by Ilhan Omar on people of faith, one, but two, the pro-life movement, acting as if the only people that care about saving innocent lives in the womb are religious fundamentalist or ultra-conservative religious right. I mean, these are terms she used. And that, by the way, that she says that if this was in any other country, we'd be calling it a dangerous violation of human rights. I mean, think about the countries in the world that are dangerous violation of human rights. We have that soundbite. Take a listen to Ilhan Omar.
If that was being proposed by any other country, we would be calling it a dangerous violation of human rights. But because it's happening here with the support of the ultra-conservative religious right, we call it religious freedom.
No, we call it legislation that gets duly passed. I mean, there is religious freedom in America, and you certainly, your faith can impact how you vote and who you vote for and what legislation you vote for. There's no bar to that. There's no religious test in America. That being said, the fact that she believes that it is a dangerous violation of human rights, in what region of the world are most human rights violations occurring? And what religion is responsible for that right now? It's the Islamic faith. In what parts of the world are you executed for being homosexual or even being accused of being homosexual? The Islamic world. Okay, that's dangerous violation of human rights by religious fundamentalists. Passing legislation based on the science of the heartbeat, whether you agree with it or not, by the way, is not the religious right or the conservative religious right getting a pass. I mean, there's lawsuits all across the country on these cases. It is going through a legislative process. I mean, Harry, that's what upsets me so much about these statements is her lack of understanding, is that in America, what we call this is not, it's not called something different because the religious right was behind it. And it's not called religious freedom because of that either. It's called legislation that passed duly and was signed by the governor of the state.
I think that's correct. I think Representative Omar would prefer to exclude religious voters from the public square as part of her left-wing fundamentalism. Religious voters, non-religious voters, have spoken on the issue of life, and many voters, religious and secular, support restrictions on abortion. Representative Omar refuses to understand that. She fails to look at the numbers. But it's important to keep in mind that under our Constitution, the First Amendment guarantees us the right to the freedom of religion and the exercise thereof. And so Representative Omar, she basically has suggested that she does not understand the United States Constitution. And so she is quite willing to accuse certain groups when it suits her purposes. And then she turns around and accuses others of Islamophobia when people attack her on policy. So she would like to have it both ways. And it suggests a level of immaturity on her part. But she has been empowered by Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats' unwillingness to do anything about it.
We can answer Nathan's question on Facebook, Than, very quickly. How long will Ilhan Omar be allowed to have influence in Congress? So long as a Democrat is Speaker of the House, whether that's Nancy Pelosi or another Democrat.
Yeah, Jordan, if they were going to take reaction against her, if they're going to remove her from a committee, it would have already happened. Yeah. It hasn't happened, and I don't expect it to going forward.
Yeah, it would have happened with the anti-Semitic tropes and all the condemnation surrounding that. Didn't happen then. We come back. There's news out of the Supreme Court as well on life. Again, moving towards that personhood issue. I see positives in this. 1-800-684-3110 to talk to us on air.
It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture, and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Senior Counsel Abby Sutherland is joining us to discuss a Supreme Court case. Came out today, this morning. We filed it. If you're watching on Facebook and Periscope, this is our amicus brief I'm holding in my hands. The case is titled, Christina Box, Commissioner of the Indiana State Department of Health versus Planned Parenthood of Indiana and Kentucky. This dealt with two issues. One is the issue that we talked about in the air of discriminatory abortions, abortions based off if there were any, sex discriminatory abortions, abortions based off health issues. And again, so there was that part of the law. There was also a part of the law about how you, what happens to an aborted child. So what is the process? The usual abortion process is thrown in a trash can. And Indiana passed a law. I'll let Abby explain these two provisions. But let's explain to people what was up before the Supreme Court out of Indiana.
Okay, so the two issues before the Supreme Court, the first issue being how should fetal remains be disposed of? How should an unborn child be taken care of following an abortion procedure? Indiana law was requiring that it be properly buried or cremated, just as any other human life would be treated. The second provision essentially placed limits on reasons for abortion and outlawed abortions based upon the mere fact that the baby was the wrong sex, it wasn't a desirable sex for the mother, race, or any other factor such as uncertainty regarding the strength of the genes. So essentially, what Indiana law was trying to prevent is the use of abortion to select ridiculous reasons for aborting a child.
Yeah.
Just, I want a boy instead of a girl, right. Or we're not sure whether this child will have a disability, so I just want to go ahead and abort the child.
Issues that we criticize in other countries like sex selective abortion in China, but yet the Supreme Court on that issue was unwilling to weigh in yet.
It was. It essentially said, so the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals struck down that provision and said Indiana cannot regulate the reasons for abortion. And it cited Casey, although Casey doesn't support that position, and I can explain that in a moment. But what the Supreme Court said is, we're not going to decide this issue yet. This is the first federal appeals court to decide this issue. We're going to wait until more federal appeals courts have decided this issue. Or I think what they're probably waiting for is a circuit split. So a disagreement among federal courts on
this issue. So seeing if other states pass similar law, this is, I don't want to get people confused. This is not like the heartbeat. This was a unique law to Indiana. It was actually signed by than Governor Pence. So it's gone through the process for a long time, the legal process. But there was a second part of this that I see some a silver lining in for the personhood movement. We talk about how that's kind of like the ultimate real goal of this pro-life movement is that you define that this child in the womb is a person. And once you are defined as a person, you have the full constitutional protections of a person and the right to life. And it's something Planned Parenthood was arguing against. I want to remind people that, Abby, this is something Planned Parenthood was fighting against, was how the remains of these children would be disposed of. Tell people, because there was a victory here.
There is, because what the Supreme Court held is that a state has a legitimate interest in the proper disposal of fetal remains of an unborn child. And so essentially what this prevents is the unborn child being disposed of next to needles or equipment. And it does. It recognizes that this was an unborn child and we treat it as a human life lost.
And that, again, so by doing and allowing, by the Supreme Court doing it in a per curiam opinion and not like heavily dissented and not deciding to have full oral arguments on this on this kind of matter, by doing so, again, it's allowing other states to take that similar route. And part of the pro-life movement is incremental victories, beating Planned Parenthood. Planned Parenthood did not even want that acknowledgement about these children. They don't want that acknowledgement, Abby, that this is a life that the state has an interest in bearing.
Right. Absolutely. I mean,
because that to them is going too far in acknowledging what's actually happening here.
It is. Because once you recognize it's a life, then you get into the issue of when you're weighing a woman's right to bodily autonomy and you're weighing the right of a child to live, which right wins out? Well, basic human rights indicates that the life of the unborn child.
Which is interesting in light of Ilhan Omar's comments. We can play it. While Abby just brought up the human rights issue here, and Ilhan Omar and on abortion saying that this would be a horrendous violation of human rights to have the heartbeat bill. Take a listen.
If that was being proposed by any other country, we would be calling it a dangerous violation of human rights. But because it's happening here with the support of the ultra-conservative religious right, we call it religious freedom.
I mean, putting away the religious freedom argument, which I just don't think she understands, because we all have the right to, if we want our faith to impact how we vote and decide how we vote. And then, of course, we still have to go through the normal secular legislative process to get things done through legislatures signed by governors, then defended in courts. So we have to go through that process, regardless of what was the impetus for our support for it, whether it's science, faith, or a mixture of both. But Abby, this idea that having like heartbeat legislation, that would somehow be considered in any other country a dangerous violation of human rights. It's pretty absurd to make that kind of statement on the House floor.
It's nonsensical, because if you detect a heartbeat, you cannot deny that at that point that is a human life. And what is a more basic human right than the right to live? And even international law recognizes that basic human right to live.
Yeah, I mean, I think that is what has to be underscored here is the true international law. The countries that do allow this are dwindling, especially when it gets into late term. And most of those countries are not countries the United States. I mean, we can pull that list, but most countries are not the countries the United States would want to be associated with. And yet we hear time and time again, it's religious fundamentalist, it's religious hypocrites. She even goes that far as if, you know, if you're not a perfect Christian, you can't push this, you can't support things like this. I mean, Abby, I think it's forgetting go to the heartbeat issue. The heartbeat issue is a scientific issue, because we can detect a heartbeat. It's not like faith is saying, well, we believe the heartbeat starts around now. No, we know when the heartbeat starts. We can actually scientifically prove to everyone when the heartbeat starts and show everyone. And that's what this legislation is being based on.
Absolutely. You can't argue with the science of it. And also what Omar ignores here, knowingly ignores, is that the majority of the American people have spoken on this issue. And we're not just talking about the religious right.
No.
The majority of Americans believe that there should be limitations on abortion.
Yeah, I mean, look at these countries that we're partnered with, Harry, that allow abortion as late as the U.S. does. So, of course, it's the U.S., North Korea, China, Vietnam, Canada, and then Singapore and the Netherlands allow abortion until week 24, but even they limit at week 24, so they don't do what like New York has done or anything like that. But these countries, I mean, you take it, you look at the U.S. and Canada as kind of the outliers there. The others are countries that don't have very good human rights records at all. North Korea, China, and Vietnam. I mean, it's not a good group to be associated with.
I think you're precisely correct. And so one of the things that Representative Omar fails to understand is that the current approach to abortion, at least from a constitutional perspective, leads to barbarism, human barbarism, plain and simple, that puts us in the company of, let's say, North Korea and other bad actors on the world stage. And so if Representative Omar would competently examine the evidence, which is plain before her, she would understand that the approach taken by many pro-life legislators in the United States is consistent with the protection of human rights, is consistent with the protection of human rights, which many countries who favor human rights have taken. So she appears to prefer to be on the same side as the North Korean dictator. And I think that's important for our listeners to understand.
Justice Thomas Abbey wrote in his own concurrence here, though it's a per curiam opinion, dissenters and those who concur do put their names to it. On this issue of the abortions for the specific, which we would consider egregious, absurd reasons, like I don't want to have a boy or I don't want to have a girl, or if there's any kind of defect that was initially noted, and now we know now a lot of times that ends up not being the case. That's not perfect science either. But that these kind of abortions on that purpose, to really push this forward to the courts, other states will have to act.
They will.
And that's what the Supreme Court is saying. We need to see other states acting.
They do. And Justice Thomas, in his concurring opinion, he opines that this law and other laws like it promote a state's compelling interest in preventing abortion from becoming a tool of modern-day eugenics. And that's precisely what it is.
Yeah, I mean, that's what we talked about when this law was first moving forward, is that other states needed to look at this and say, when you allow this kind of okay this, and this is what abortion on demand for any reason means, is that you can turn it into whatever you want. So it can be eugenic, like in the sense that, well, I don't like the sex of this child. I don't like the genetic test that came back about this child, because all that's available now. That wasn't available during the time of Roe versus Wade or Planned Parenthood versus Casey. Now we all can get that information very easily through a simple blood test. So, again, I think there's a lot to talk about here. We'll get back to Omar as well when we come back on Jay Sekulow Live.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture, and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.
So we got that update from the United States Supreme Court. I stepped closer on the personhood issue, and I think that is the ultimate goal, is defining the unborn child as a person. And then, you know, so even if it's, we're talking about the burial of an aborted child, acknowledging the personhood of that child is a step forward. It's incremental, but it's part of the incremental goals of the pro-life movement. There are big gains. There are small gains. They are all important when you combine them together. And this segment's the final segment of the broadcast. We take your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. And I know many of you want to comment on Ilhan Omar. I understand that. I've been waiting since Friday when these comments came out to comment on this, because I believed it was so important for our audience to understand that she was now not just making ridiculous comments about Israel and anti-Semitic comments, but now she was going after you. And I say, I mean people of faith, or if you're not a person of faith, but you consider yourself conservative or pro-life, you're included in that too. You must be a fundamentalist also. It's just so interesting. The person they are choosing to be the messenger is a very interesting messenger. And I think that, that it's speaking to the liberal base as well. But for this point in America, I think this kind of messenger is doing a lot more harm for Democrats then good. Let's go right to the phones, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Lee is calling in from Oklahoma on line 5. Lee, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hey, thanks. I basically want to just agree that we have a lot of ignorance. I just basically don't understand. Okay, I get it with the Democrats, but where are the Republican voices in the House confronting her? Why is confrontation for the Republicans so difficult? I don't understand why we can't address some of these absolutely ignorant ideas.
Well, here's what's happened, Lee, is members of Congress have spoken out, Republicans, not Democrats. Some Democrats kind of gave a little, like a pat on the hand, but then they ultimately did not condemn Ilhan Omar. And now they're starting to take the side of Ilhan Omar, even when she said some things happen someday by some people about the 9/11 attacks. And they started taking her side. They started taking Rashida Tlaib's side when she said, when she talked about celebrating the Holocaust. And they took her side, Nancy Pelosi and Steny Hoyer. So you're not going to hear it from the Democrats right now. From Republicans, you have. The President of the United States has called for her to be removed from the Foreign Affairs Committee, but he can't do that. It's the House Democrats are in control of the House of Representatives. It'd have to be coming from the Speaker's office. It'd have to be pressure from Democrats. Vice President Pence has said she must be removed from the House Foreign Affairs Committee. Only her constituents can vote her out of office. That is unlikely. She is up for re-election like every House member this election cycle. But take a listen to Congressman Lee Zeldin, because he laid it out. He's a congressman Republican from New York. So for Lee from Oklahoma, take a listen to Lee from New York, Lee Zeldin from New York. He laid out all the issues, and that was up until this comment, that Ilhan Omar has created for herself and the statements she's made while in office for such a short period of time. Take a listen, Byte 33.
We're talking about Rep. Omar for her anti-Semitic statements. She has anti-Israel positions, pro-BDS, but also keep in mind that she's requested leniency for ISIS fighters. She blamed U.S. foreign policy for the al-Shabaab attack in Kenya. She's pro-Maduro in Venezuela. So for many reasons, she shouldn't have been appointed to this committee in the first place.
I mean, there you go. I mean, it was just the litany of reasons why. Take out even some of the Islamic stuff. Pro-Maduro in Venezuela. Again, blaming U.S. foreign policy for the al-Shabaab attack in Kenya. It is really, I mean, I want to go to Than Bent on this, Than. I think this is the kind of link what we need to hear about. And, of course, the boycott, divestment, and sanctions movement. I mean, that she supports what, it's not like she supports in hiding and then we kind of had to uncover. She proudly supports it.
Yeah, you go through this list of views, Jordan, and there's just no way she should be helping set foreign policy for the United States. And yet, look, by the fact that Speaker Pelosi has put her on the Foreign Affairs Committee, it's not just that she sort of accidentally fell into a position where she gets to influence. Jordan, the Democrat Party in Washington, D.C. has chosen her to be one of their standard bearers on foreign policy. And I think that's really what it comes down to. To the caller's point, there were a lot of Republicans and even a handful of Democrats who verbally reprimanded her the first time around. Now, I would say it did not follow through to action. They did not pressure their leadership to remove her from committees. I'm sure there will be volume on the Republican side on the life issue as well. But Jordan, again, there is one select and very pretty narrow group inside the House that can actually have an impact on this, and it's House leadership. It's Nancy Pelosi, Steny Hoyer, and James Clyburn. Unless they're convinced, she's not going anywhere.
But take a listen. This is Ilhan Omar again. And by the way, I was looking at her Twitter account. She is retweeting her floor speech as we speak. So she's coming back to it as well, I think, realizing it didn't get the attention maybe she wanted. And so she's retweeting it right now, just a couple hours ago after Memorial Day, to get more attention on her remarks about calling us human rights violators for the heartbeat legislation. But take a listen to comments she made. This is before she was running for Congress, but she was a city council member, very involved in her community, Byte 29.
When I was in college, I took a terrorism class. Every time the professor said Al-Qaeda, he sort of like his shoulders went up and, you know.
Yeah, he's in command here.
Al-Qaeda, you know, hospital. You don't say America with an intensity. You don't say England with an intensity. You know, you don't say the army with an intensity.
Well, Harry, I go to Harry, professor. A big difference, Harry, when you're talking as a professor about Al-Qaeda and Hezbollah, which are recognized terrorist organizations by the United States and international community, than when you're talking about America or England. I mean, obviously, your body language and tone changes when you talk about terrorists. She's trying to say, well, because they're Muslim. But in fact, I mean, she's defending Al-Qaeda and Hezbollah right there.
Absolutely. So I think Representative Omar is a bundle of contradictions.
Yeah.
So on one hand, she wishes to accuse others of favoring human subordination, when indeed she favors human subordination when it is done, apparently, by socialists in Venezuela or by terrorists who happen to be Islamic fundamentalists. So she wants to have it again both ways. And so she is this bundle of contradictions. But the real issue, of course, as Than and you have correctly pointed out, is the failure of the House Democratic leadership to do something about it. She has clearly proved herself to be a strong supporter of anti-Semitism. And yet the House refuses to single her out for criticism.
Let's take final call of the day. Paula in Minnesota on line four. Paula, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Thank you. I just want to say that you guys have already expressed it so well that when Americans saw New York gleefully celebrating the ability to murder babies up to birth, it was like a wake-up call. And a wake-up call not only for religious fundamentalists or ultra-conservatives, but for the average American who said this.
That was who the wake-up call, Paul, I'll let you keep talking. That's who the wake-up call was really for. It was the average American. The pro-life community was already woken up. They've already been working on the pro-life issues. These laws are coming into place, Paula, because average folks who would not consider themselves really involved in these issues woke up to what was going on. Go ahead, Paula.
And I will say what the left has meant for evil, God is turning around for good because he saw that.
I think absolutely right. And Abby, you've talked about this before on air. Since what happened in New York, we've seen just hundreds of new pieces of legislation.
Hundreds of pro-life measures.
Of pro-life measures taken in the states. That is not just from pro-life activists, because they've always been fighting for that. It's just as the caller said, it's about people who woke up to the issue and said, you know what, this is disgusting that this is happening in the United States of America. We've got a petition you can sign to stand with this heartbeat legislation that Ilhan Omar is calling a human rights violation. Stand for it. Go to ACLJ.org, sign the petition. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at ACLJ.